¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello and welcome back to ABA Mom, the podcast where we explore applied behavior analysis, parenting, and everything in between. I'm your host, Allie. And today I have a very special guest joining me, my longtime friend, Sam. We've known each other since we were about 12 years old. Sam, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Glad to be here.
So before we dive into our discussion today, can you share a bit about your life in DC and what it's like being a dog owner?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I've been living here with a dog just over a year. I've lived here longer, but Max is, my dog is just about 2 years old now. And the last year we were in a totally different place when he was very young, like open on the farm. So it's been an adjustment, but I think he really likes it here. But it's active lifestyle, and you have to be careful out there walking the dog. You never know, but it's a very dog-friendly city, so that aspect's been great. And
There's a lot of definitely a lot of dog owners in DC, but it's really cool how he's gone to so many different environments because you have an Airbnb in Florida, so he visits there. In DC, like it gets really cold, like there's the snow, and then you were also on a farm. So he's definitely had some really cool life experiences already.
Yeah, I know. He's gone on more road trips in 2 years than like people in their lifetime, right?
That's awesome. Yeah, he's a cool dog. Dogs can be such great companions. As a dog owner, what have you learned about the behavior and training and what you think relates when we're talking about ABA or what you know about ABA? Because I know that you yourself are not a behaviorist, but you just hear me talk about it all the time.
Yeah, I'm definitely not my expertise, but I watch you and I learn so much. I think the biggest thing I've learned is, sometimes progress is quick on some things, but other times it's not as much, right? So you have to really be patient, but also, keep going at it, remain calm, and usually, of course, provide positive reinforcement. And over time, I think behavior issues with the dog can get resolved that way. It's probably a little bit different and easier than humans, but I think there's some similar things. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely different, but it's still behavior. Like dogs still have behavior. So in ABA, we have something called the dead man's test. So if a dead man can do it, it's not a behavior. So dogs certainly have a lot of behaviors, even though, I don't want to ever say, I feel like when I talk about dogs' behavior, I always think that people are thinking like, oh, we can train our kids like dogs. But no, we can teach new skills and we can teach a dog skills. So we do call it dog training. So what are, I think positive reinforcement is really crucial part of the behavior change. Have you faced any challenges with Max that required you to adapt your approach?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a list, but there's two things I've issues that come to mind, right? So I started the positive reinforcement training even when I went to like a dog training academy type thing, and that was their approach because they figured it was the most effective. And then through you and visits and stuff, I realized how effective it could be. And we were really successful like on training, like, play tricks, right? But one thing that's still really hard from time to time is getting Max to listen to me when I say, come here. So sometimes he does it, sometimes he doesn't. And it's almost like he's so smart that he's just like, yeah,
he's
I know what
choosing.
That means, but I don't want to do it, right? So that one we're still working on. And then more recently I've realized I've always had him around other dogs, but like I've had to try to alleviate some unwanted behaviors. Like he, I guess it's jealousy when I literally go to pet another dog, he kind of freaks out, right? And what I've read is that's pretty natural in dogs because, you know, they feel threatened. You're their main provider and resource, you know, but I've never experienced that with the dog. So I've tried to get him in the environment with other dogs to pet and give them both attention. And then when he's good, you know, give him positive
I love that.
reinforcement with the treats. So that's going to take a long time, but that's where we're at.
I love how you're differentiating like the attention for him. It's like, okay, so I'm gonna give this other dog attention, but like I didn't forget about you, and then you still turn around and give him that positive attention too. I know like I have a dog too, Mimi, but she's so much older. So I kind of forgot like some of those puppy stages. The first thing I remember her doing when I brought her home was take a shit on my floor.
Oh my
And I was
gosh.
like, okay, this is a good start.
Yeah.
So, but I've known, people that say like, just put like a shock collar on them or, just hit them with a newspaper. And not that those things aren't effective, but they're just not long term because you're not teaching any skills to them. Like they're not learning anything. They're just like, okay, I can't do this, but there's no replacement behavior.
Right. I
And I
mean, the
didn't know
way I
somebody.
see it, it's like a deterrent using those type of collars and things like that. But like once that's gone, like what if you lose that item? The dog is not going to, you know, stop those behaviors because you no longer have that shock collar, right? They haven't learned anything. They just know, okay, don't do this because I'm afraid. I don't know.
Exactly. So they're teaching
Yeah.
them, it's kind of like a fear perspective too. So there's nothing else to replace that. So now we're just like, like if I bark too loud, like I'm gonna get shocked, which temporarily will work, but then eventually gonna figure out, oh, I don't even have the shock collar on. I guess I can bark now. Or they'll be too afraid, and they're learning off of fear versus like a skill that ca they can replace. So yeah, I think that oh,
There he
there he is.
is.
Hey, Max. Thanks for
He
joining
had to get some
us today.
camera time. All right. Sorry to
Yeah,
end
I know he's
abrupt.
probably not going to stay in your lap too long.
No.
Welcome to the show, Max.
Yeah,
I love that name that you picked for him. I know it's like a common dog name, but I feel like it fits his personality. Like he's a Max.
when I get really angry, I'm like Maxwell, you know, stuff like
Love it.
that.
He's your kid, Maxwell. So I know like, we're talking about dogs, but it can be applied in so many areas of life, whether, it's working with kids or dogs or even a professional setting, being able to adopt to or the becoming adaptable. But I really like your insight in, dog training. What do you think are some of the biggest obstacles that you had? I know you mentioned that come here is still an obstacle, but what about when you first brought him home? What were some of the biggest obstacles?
Well, I mean, of course, you mentioned some potty training issues. That's with the puppies. That's always like the big one, right?
And
And
some
it.
people have adult dogs that still like, or adult dogs that have certain areas, like this is my spot.
Yeah. I'm so glad that's not what happened, but it took patience, right? Like we talked about that. But over the time, he figured it out and. You know, does not want to make that mistake inside. I think that's the biggest one with a puppy. Just trying to get them to pay attention to you and you know, make eye contact and you know, when you say, hey, that was a big issue one with the puppy because they have so much energy and the world is so new to them, you know, and that's a hard one.
Hyperactivity.
Yeah, even today with Max, we're still working on like what I call distraction training because yeah, usually I call him, he's looking right at me, eye contact, right? But when you're out there in the city or something like DC and there's all nice smelling things and you know, all kinds of other dogs, it's hard to make sure they're still like in focus mode and on that good behavior. But that's what comes to mind, you know, when I first brought the dog home or the puppy rather, and Max is a puppy and then you know, it, everybody has a different choice, you know, when it comes to whether they're going to crate the dog or not. I mean, of course, I went for that. So that was a difficult one at first because puppies are like not, you know, they don't want to be
No,
there.
they don't. And then
Yeah.
they hate it and they bark, but then it's like kind of your other option is like they're gonna piss and shit on your floor. So,
Yeah, yep, that's
so
it.
those are your choices. You listen to them bark all night or you piss and shit on your floor. And it's very aversive to people. But yeah, what you were just talking about, the distraction training, like in ABA, we often call it stimulus control. So getting that kind of like, okay, so like being able to follow through with a task, like we kind of bring people, like I work with like a lot of kids and some adults, we kind of bring them back in and get them kind of like focused like on the task and like gaining that stimulus back. So, but I like that strategy that you're using. Across environments, did you find it difficult because I feel like at the farm, he was able to just run free and like hang out with the chickens and like the other dogs. And then you brought him to DC where he has to be let out by you and go for walks. Did you find that difficult for him?
Not as much surprisingly as I thought. Dogs are pretty adaptable is what I've
That's
learned.
awesome.
It's definitely different, right? Yeah, because I could just let him out, like you said, he'd go run around. But even on the farm, if he was alone outside, he'd probably just walk around a little bit and then, sleep. So now it's like one of the positives of it is now he's like associates going outside with, all right, this is time for me to be really active and I can walk and run, and he's all for it. Like, believe it or
Yeah,
not, living on
like
the
some built up
farm,
energy, like you got now.
but living on the farm, I would try to take him for a walk and he would just totally be like, I don't know if I want to do this. Like, I could
Yeah.
just stay at the farm, So that's a
That
big
part was
difference.
nice being like, okay, go on out versus like you gotta like get up and go for a walk. So that's probably a training for you.
Yeah, I mean it was adapting for me too, but it's good for both of our health, so I can't really complain,
Yeah,
right?
no, that's true. Being able to go for walks outside, that's definitely, they say like, people that are dog owners, they live longer because they have to have some kind of physical activity because they have a dog, they have to let them out.
That's great to hear, and I definitely believe it.
I think that's totally true. Yeah, I think that's great about how adaptable he is. I know that's definitely it's a struggle with some dogs. I do notice sometimes, when I was with you, first of all, the farm, I just want to mention about that stupid gate. So there's this gate on the farm that Sam lived at where I you had to like, so he like drive, like let Max outside to come with the dogs. And then like you have to have somebody physically get out of the car, close the gate, and because it wasn't an automatic gate, and then get in the car and leave. Like,
Yeah.
the gate sucked.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't my place. I didn't own it, but
Yeah,
I
no, I know, but
yeah.
that was not a good time.
Yeah, it was a little bit of exercise, right?
Yeah, there you go. There's your exercise. That's just different. You gotta get out of your car versus going for a walk down the street.
Yeah.
So, did you find that it was, it sounds like it was a pretty easy transition for Max, and we kind of brought up you. Do you feel like it was an easy transition for you?
I mean, it was easier than I expected, but I wouldn't say it was like totally easy for me. I mean, I've moved plenty of times, so I mean, I know how to do all that as an adult,
Yeah, you
right?
have like
But
an extra like
it was the first
animal
time
to care.
moving with him, right? Yeah, so that was different. I had to have some friends along the way. Thankfully, I did to help with all that, and that's been great. I mean,
He gets really
yeah.
bad separation anxiety from you. Like he, it, and you mentioned like your neighbors and stuff too. Like
Yeah.
they might hate
So
you.
yeah, they don't like me, and that's okay. But we're at a point now where it's getting better quite a bit, and there's ways to alleviate that, right? Besides, giving your dog medication, which for me is not like desirable. I know people do it for a reason and whatever, but
Yeah, for like anxiety and things like that for dogs.
yeah,
Yeah.
so of course, making sure it gets enough activity, that's a huge factor. But I noticed even with that, sometimes that separation anxiety would pop out. And I knew that when I got this dog breed. I mean, that's a lot of people jump into dog ownership and don't research everything. So I knew what to expect. I think it's been a little bit more than typical with Max. And maybe that is due to the fact that I've been working from home for as long as he's been alive, and he sees me all the time, and it's used to me. So the activity has helped a lot, and then I just take short breaks where I left my condo and go to do laundry or go outside, walk around the building
Yeah, I
once,
think
come
that's
back,
good.
and and then give him a treat when I return with positive reinforcement. So over time,
Yes.
that's helped. I mean, it's, I would
You're trying to
say,
help desensitize him.
yeah, you're absolutely right. But I would say the progress is like amazing because it took so long. I mean, and it finally just stuck. But I think it was a combo of those things, right? Like what you said. And then I noticed, I like, for example, I took a short trip to Las Vegas, like 4 days, 3 nights, something like that, not too long ago, and left him with a friend that he's really close with. So I knew he was comfortable there. So he didn't freak
That's
out when I
good.
left. But when I got back, I mean, he was excited to see me, but we went home. But then he was just kind of like, oh, whatever, you'll come back. You always do. Like, he wasn't fazed. So,
Yeah, so he's gotten
yeah.
used to you kind of leaving on like your short trips and things like that. So that's awesome. And I like how you come back and you like reinforce him with like a treat too. You're like, hey, like great job, like kind of waiting for me. And like he's getting used to you coming back. But I'm sure like working from home is hard because he sees you all day. So that part I think would be a little bit difficult. At least for now, you're home.
Yep, less than 2 weeks. So we may have a new adventure into dog behaviors to deal with, but hoping for
We have to
the
like come back for another episode then and be like, hey, how's that going for
best.
you?
Right.
How about do your neighbors hate you now?
Oh my God.
So I really love all your insight. And one thing about you is that like I always feel like you're always like really knowledgeable. So anytime you do something, like you put in so much effort. So like getting a dog, like I feel like you've already done like so much research on like how to raise a dog and what their needs are and like what their behaviors are gonna be. So I feel like, and then you apply it, which is a huge part. So before we wrap up, do you have any advice for our listeners who might be considering getting a dog or maybe, and I know that you're not a parent yourself, but I'm, navigating parenting as I know you've seen parents.
Yeah,
You
no,
know
I'm not a
me.
parent, but I mean, hey, I'm an uncle, I'm a big brother,
Yeah,
I'm all that. So,
exactly.
yeah, I get it. Well, I don't, I mean, I could tell you for a dog, yeah, do your research. Of course, to make sure you find the right breed and the right dog for your personality and maybe for your
Ooh, that's a
home.
good point.
Yeah, and different size homes, you got to consider that. I think a good way to do that, honestly, is just to go to like volunteer, like animal rescues or things like that, just so you could maybe get an idea like what to expect a little bit. Sometimes that's not great because the rescues, dogs have a lot of, may have
Yeah.
a lot of issues, but you
Or
can still
history
start
of
to.
like abuse, or you don't know what they went through before going and getting there.
Right. But it'll still give you an idea if you've never had a dog before, right? And I had been around dogs w way before this and had them, but this was really like the first time where I'm like the owner, you know? Yeah, about parenting and all that. I guess I would say I can't give anybody advice on,
I feel like I don't want to say like kids or dogs because like I think that
No.
offends a lot of people, but there's definitely like some similarities because you have somebody to take care of like outside of yourself.
Because when you're a parent, I'm sure you know very well. Yeah, you have to, you put priorities and put somebody, you're always putting somebody else first, right? Of course, you
Right.
focus on you could take care of yourself, but I mean, yeah. And you really do that with a dog. I mean, cats are great too, but you can kind of
They're a
just
little
let
more
them go.
independent though. Cats are
Yeah.
like, I think cats are great for like first time pet owners. It's like, look, you gotta clean a litter box and feed them, and they're okay for like a couple days.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, people have like automated feeders and things like that. So I don't feel like
My
it's the
gosh.
same.
I
But
would just.
both of them, having a dog and being a parent or guardian to a child, like I feel like they both cross over with you have to be patient with learning,
Right.
because some things take a lot of time for kids and dogs, right?
It's true. It's true. Yeah. It does take time for sure. But I think, thanks so much for all your advice. And we'll definitely have to do this again. I think I really want to hear what it's like when you go back to work and some experience. You may have less hair by
Okay.
then, I'm not sure.
Yeah, you'll definitely hear about it one way or the other. You know, I'm gonna be calling you. But yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, and I
Yeah.
hope I'm back again sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining today. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning to ABA Mom. Remember, whether you're navigating challenging of parenting or pet ownership, you're not alone in this journey. Join us next week for more discussions on behavior analysis and life lessons. Until next time, take care.